live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrow.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
We're now in December, and with Christmas fast approaching, I spoke to the 105 vet, Mifanui, about some of the things we need to be really careful with our pets. We started talking about Christmas food and what we take for granted.
I think the number one worry for us vets at Christmas time are the mince pies. Oh. So lots of the time, we have piles and piles of mince pies stacked up in our houses, on plates, things like that. And unfortunately, mince pies and also things like Christmas cake and Christmas pudding, they contain loads of raisins, and raisins and sultanas, these sorts of things, dried fruits, they are very poisonous to dogs in particular. And wow. When they're, you know, on those plates on the side on the tables, they're really easy to access. And unfortunately, particularly for dogs, there's no minimum toxic level for raisins.
No.
Because it's very variable based on the individual dog. So even one grape or one raisin can be enough to cause kidney failure in our pets.
Oh,
so
dear.
It's really important that mince pies and the Christmas pudding and thing are kept well away from our
pets.
Yes,
so all the kind of traditional things that are made with lots of dry fruits, aren't they?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
All of those. Yeah, very
all
bad for dogs and cats as well,
no,
although cats probably not
so
interested.
Yeah, so cats don't tend to be quite so interested in them. Cats don't have any sweet taste buds, so they're not quite as interested in all of the yummy things that we have around at Christmas time. But the other top one as well, particularly for dogs, is going to be chocolate. So
yes.
Lots of people will be hanging chocolate from the Christmas tree, you know, those little foil wrapped things, lots of boxes of chocolates available. So it's really important, again, that those are kept well out of the reach of our dogs and cats. Again, it's mostly dogs that are going to snaffle a few chocolates. And if your dog does eat either raisins or mince pies, anything like that, or chocolate, it's very important that you get in touch with the vet. And the likelihood is that they'll want to make them sick so that they can get any of that out of their systems before any of the toxins build up in their bodies.
And you mentioned grapes. So even though we said dry fruit, but actually grapes is also bad.
Yeah, so it's actually the grape that is the problem. So grapes and to a certain extent plums as well. And when they're in their dried form, actually the toxic part of them is concentrated. So any of the sultana raisin family and the products that they come from, so the grapes that they come from. So yeah, they are a big, big no-no and really need to be avoided at this time of year. And then a few other bits and pieces that we quite commonly have around our houses. So lilies. Lots of people will be getting nice bunches of flowers into their houses. All part of the lily is toxic to cats.
Well, yeah.
So including the pollen, the leaves, the flowers. So it's very important that if you've got cats, try not to have lilies in the house even. And if you have got any, then try and keep them well out of the way of cats, because they're, again, very, very poisonous and they can cause kidney failure.
And so is that if they just brush up against them just as much as if they were to eat them?
They don't have to necessarily ingest them. So licking them. And pollen is actually the big offender here, because they brush up against them. And you know what lilies are like, they've got those big pollen heads on them. And then the cat will groom the pollen off their body, and that will be enough to cause big problems. So really important that we keep those out of the way. And then another popular plant at Christmas time, the poinsettia, you know, those big beautiful red ones. They can cause lots of problems. So they can cause, vomiting and diarrhea and things, and irritation in the mouth if they get chewed on.
And is then that for both dogs and cats?
Both dogs and cats, And actually, the humble Christmas tree can be a bit problematic if you've got indoor rabbits. So pine and some of the chemicals the smell that we really like from pine, that can cause problems if you've got indoor rabbits or indoor guinea pigs, as that's actually toxic to them as well. So if you do have indoor rabbits and indoor guinea pigs, tend to make sure that you keep them in separate rooms away from wherever your Christmas tree is. It's not so bad, you know, if it's in the other room, if it's the rabbits are in your utility room, for example, that won't be a problem. But if you can smell the pine, then the levels are going to be too high for our pet rabbits and guinea pigs. And then also the berries, you know, the holly berries, the mistletoe, all of those sorts of things, which are obviously also toxic to humans. So we're maybe a bit more aware of those.
Yes,
but they can also be problematic, because obviously our furry friends, they don't know not to have a munch on your pretty Christmas garland. So do make sure that they're out of the way of your pets as well. Another big one that's really more of a worry for dogs, but is also very relevant to cats, is antifreeze.
Okay.
And antifreeze is obviously commonly found in window screen wash, but it's also a component of the grit that is spread on the roads during the colder winter months. So it's really important that that not only if you've got things like windscreen wash stored in garages, it contains a substance called ethylene glycol. And when you're buying things like de-icing spray or windscreen wash for your car, you can actually check the ingredients and see if you can find an ethylene glycol free product, because it's very, very toxic to cats. It's not good for dogs either. And it's very easy for things to get spilt or knocked over in garages and things like that. But also for our dogs who are going out on walks during the day, that combination of antifreeze plus salt on their paws, it's really important that we wash their paws off when they come in from outside if they've been walking on grit a lot. Because if they groom that off, then the large amounts of salt and potentially that antifreeze can also cause them problems. So always wash your pet's feet off after you've been for a walk.
Is it just okay to wash it with sort of soap and water or whatever?
Yeah, just plain water is absolutely fine. Wipe down with a wet cloth to get off the last of any salt and things like that. And, you know, most dogs actually don't lick their paws quite as much as cats do, so it's not quite as much of a problem, but still important to, especially for the salt, because too much salt's also very bad.
Is there potential for getting like little shoes for dogs or something like that to protect their feet?
Yeah, absolutely. Little boots.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's lots of boots available for dogs. Not all dogs are a massive fan of them, particularly the first time you put them on, but it's definitely something to try if you are in an area that's very commonly gritted, or if your dog has got sensitive paws. So if they've not got, you know, very hard pads, you can put little boots on to protect them in the winter months. It's actually very common in racing huskies to put these boots on. So yeah.
I thought it might have been just being a bit daft then. But on that question, actually, about the cold, dogs and coats, is it a good thing to have for dogs, especially if they've been
clippered? It's very individual. So there will be some dogs who will cope very well in the cold, and it's a little bit like in the hot weather. So, you know, we do the 10-second rule. If you can put your hand on the floor for 10 seconds and it doesn't hurt, then it's probably okay to go for a walk. But equally, you know, 10 seconds on the cold floor, if that's uncomfortable for you as a person, it's still going to be uncomfortable for them as a dog. So if you find that your dog is suffering from the cold, if they're doing a lot of shivering, if they're really not keen on going outside for a walk, then certainly a little coat can be very helpful. And if it's raining as well, because obviously they're going to lose heat a lot faster if they're wet.
Very good. So novelty coats are okay as long as they're keeping them warm.
Yes, absolutely.
Just thinking about all the ones that are going to come out for Christmas.
Yeah, and there's snazzy jumpers.
Just one more thing I wanted to ask you. I've seen in some pet shops these coloured dog chews that they're sort of selling as sort of Christmas presents for your dogs. What do you think of those?
Yeah, so these coloured rawhide chews, they're very commonly available, but they are not necessarily the best present to give your dog. Unfortunately, the way that they're made means that they're made with an awful lot of chemicals, and a lot of these chemicals, you know, these are byproducts from the leather and the tanning industry. So these are not nice chemicals, and the colorants that they tend to put into them are also, again, very chemical based. And they're all going to be absorbed by your dog when they chew on them. They can also get stuck as well. So if they take a big bite out of them, they can actually swallow them and they can get stuck and things like that. So generally speaking, I tend to advise people to avoid the coloured rawhide chews. And actually, even the uncoloured ones are not much better. So there are lots of other toys available for dogs. I'd go for those kind of indestructible chew toys. The you know, brands like Kong, for example, are very good. Rope tug toys, those sorts of things, really good for dogs. In terms of other dog toys, really encourage people not to throw sticks for their dogs as well. Oh. Unfortunately, we see lots of stick injuries. And I've seen a couple of dogs this weekend who have got pieces of stick stuck in their mouth, under their tongue, have penetrated the back of the throat, because, you know, it's very easy for sticks to shatter and cause splinters in the mouth. So try to throw things other than sticks for your dog. So either large balls that are too big for them to swallow, obviously, or even more preferable are actually the kind of plastic stick substitutes that are available. So they're much better. And then in terms of our cats, obviously there's lots of toys available for cats as well, but we don't have to always buy things. We can make them as well. And dried fish skins are a really good thing to give our cats. So you can actually go to the fishmongers and they'll give you the skins probably for free, because not many people like them.
Yeah.
You can bake them really slowly in the oven and make a nice healthy treat for your dog or for your cat. Those are really good. And feathers on string, things like that on a stick, you know, like a bit
yes,
of a fishing,
like a fishing
rod.
Line. Yeah.
And just make sure that, you know, the string is attached to the stick, that your cat can't chew the string. Same for tinsel as well. Actually, we want to make sure that tinsel and ribbon are not left lying around for our cats, because if they swallow them, they can obviously cause a lot of problems in the gastrointestinal tract in their stomachs. But yeah, lots of toys that we can make for our cats at home and without necessarily having to buy them lots of expensive things.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you ever so much for that. Really interesting. I always forget about mince pies. It doesn't seem right, does it? That's probably good for their figures, better than ours.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Fanny. We wish you a lovely Christmas and see you in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cambridge 105 Radio.